All right, here we go. Lunchtime with Rogan and Roddy. Roddy Pete in studio. Fred Rogan in Atlanta. I think he missed his flight. I think he was partying. He may say otherwise.
I did not miss my flight, Rodney. I did not miss my flight.
Let me tell you the story I'm going with, Fred, and you're going to have to live with it.
All right, well, you can go with it, but let me say this. If I had left at 6:15 this morning, I would have landed at about 10:50, and I didn't think that was enough time to make it to get to the studio, so I decided to stay here and fly home tonight so I could be on the show. That's the kind of guy I am. I'm here with you.
Hey, Fred, when you fly private, you can leave anytime you want to. I don't buy that story, brother.
Yeah, but you're the one that flies private. It's not me. You fly private.
Ah, come on, Fred. That farce you're playing with me. No, I get it, brother. I get it, man. You were partying with the Dodgers last night, man. You lost track of time.
Well, I'll tell you, it would have been easy to lose track of time. But here's something interesting. Because I've been in those clubhouses before when the Dodgers went on the road.
Yeah.
And normally when you walk in Arizona last year, even in Chicago, it takes a long time to clean it up. SunTrust Park in Atlanta is 2 years old. And apparently they want this thing pristine. I have never seen in my entire life a clubhouse filled with champagne, beer, plastic, cleaned up as quickly as they did in Atlanta.
Really?
It was like an hour, boom, gone. Carpet's cleaned, everything out. Everything's set. Brand new. We'll see you next year. I could not believe how fast they cleaned that place up. Normally, it goes for hours. Nuh-uh. Super quick, clean, and out.
Hey, what was the mood afterwards, Fred? I mean, look, baseball's so different than any other sport because after every series, they celebrate like they've won it all. In football, you win a playoff game, you keep going to the next one, and you keep it calm. You don't say anything because you know you got more to play until you get to the Super Bowl. But in baseball, in every series you get through, they celebrate. But it's different with different teams. Teams look at it and go, okay, we're going to celebrate, but we know we got more work to do. What was the mood like in the Dodgers clubhouse afterwards? Even though they were celebrating, was the feeling like, hey, we still got another big-time match against the Brewers coming up, and we got to get back to the World Series?
Well, it's interesting. You know, they did celebrate. They did. And Puig was Puig. He was being crazy. Manny Machado was being crazy. Cody Bellinger was kind of flipping and squirting beer at people. It was pretty funny to watch. So, yeah, they had a good time. But it's so bizarre because they actually expected to be there. Now, they wouldn't tell you that, but that was kind of the sense you got from observing everybody in there and talking to them afterwards. Yeah, they expected to be there. They think they're the best team, and they know they have to battle every series. And the thing about it is, if you, as you and I and all the people that listen to our show and Dodger fans throughout the Southland have done, if you live and die this every day, they're a lot calmer than we are about it. I'll tell you that. They are very calm, and they have just an idea that, yeah, they're supposed to be there. They believe they're the best team. It might not take them only four games. It might be a nail-biter. There might be some clunkers, but they do believe they are the best team.
Yeah, there are moments, you know, throughout a season that kind of get you going. And we were, you know, as Dodger fans, been frustrated all season long in which the way they played. I mean, I think everyone around the league would say, you even listen to whether it be the Fox guys doing the game or the TBS guys doing the games, that the Dodgers are the most talented team. The Dodgers have the most depth. The Dodgers have this. Well, they haven't really shown that or imposed their will all season long until I think they went up to San Francisco and swept the Giants. Even though the Giants are not in it, and it's like any kind of rivalry, the records sometimes don't matter. And the Giants played that game to win, to knock the Dodgers out, yet the Dodgers go in and they sweep and they blow them out in the last game. I think that turned the corner for the Dodgers. I also think in this series against Atlanta, when they got down 5-0 early and they fought their way back to tie it, was something that we hadn't seen from the Dodgers all season long, because normally when they've gotten down this past season, the game has been over. They haven't been able to come back. They maybe scrap one run or two runs, but it's usually that number is crooked for the other team and the Dodgers on the short end. But they fought back, tied it up, had a chance to win it, and they didn't do it. But I think that to me, was something different in the Dodger team. And maybe it's just the postseason, but I think coming out yesterday and getting the win in dominant fashion like they did, is really going to help them going forward.
You know, and the guys that they picked up at the trade deadline, David Freese, you mentioned him in the tease. I talked to him last night after the game, and I said, what's it like to be a hired gun? You're a guy that somebody's going to pick up at the deadline that they think can make a difference. Right. And he said, you know, I do feel like that. I feel like one of those guys. I'm a hired gun. They bring me in because I know what I'm doing. They bring me in because I've been here before. They bring me in because I'm a veteran, and there's a level of expectation. And he said, more often than not, I'm able to deliver on it. And it's kind of an interesting place to be where he knows that's his job. He said when he walked into the clubhouse, Rodney, he was awed. He couldn't believe the collection of talent the Dodgers had, yeah, and that they wanted to add him to that collection of talent. And he said they embraced him immediately. They made him feel welcome. And he said he feels like he's been here all year, even though he's only been here for a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And his mentality of being a hired gun, he knows why he's there. And boy, did he deliver yesterday.
Yes, he did. Man, it's interesting you brought up David Freese, Fred, because we did a segment not too long ago called Giant or Tiny, and you had something to say about Freese, I believe.
I think so.
Oh, with all due respect to David Freese, I think it's tiny.
Tiny.
I get it. This is the time of the year, if you feel you're going to be in the postseason, that you go out and you start stocking up with veterans. Obviously, he is a guy that has been there. I don't think his impact will be as great as some anticipate, but it's a right-handed bat, and they picked him up, and maybe he can provide a little spark at one point or another. I don't think it was giant. I think it was tiny.
I think it's giant. I think the history of David Freese and big moments is the reason why they brought him in. I think in the playoffs, as it gets in crunch time, there's so many matchup situations, and having a guy like that that you can either put in the lineup late in the game or bring him off the bench to pinch hit, I think it's giant. You can't have enough of those veteran guys that have been there, done that, and done it in big moments.
What See, that's why you? We stopped doing that segment.
What say you, Fred?
Yeah, that's why we stopped that, Rodney.
Did you tell
that's
David,
why we cut out Giant or Tiny.
Did you tell David Freese that last night?
No, I said he would make an impact in some way. I just listened back to it. But you nailed it. I didn't really think he would make the kind of impact. You know, just the way he stepped up last night, that was a gigantic moment. Yeah. And, you know, he's not going to play every game. So, but when he did, he really impacted the game.
No, he really did.
And am I surprised? Maybe a little bit. I didn't know he would have that kind of impact.
Yeah,
I knew a veteran bat is good, but wow, he did impact the game last night.
Yeah, and he echoed that after the game. I heard him talking. I know you talked to him, but he talked about, you know, how he had no idea he was going to be here. He thought he was going to finish the season in Pittsburgh. But to come to get traded to a contender, number one, was great. But then to be the Dodgers, just blew him away. So I think he was just as excited to be a Dodger as the Dodgers were to get him. And get this, Fred, he not only is he clutch in just, you know, big time moments, but he led the National League in hitting in the month of September. I mean, that's the type of impact that he's had on this team. And it's guys like that going forward. When you can put him in, you can put him in cold in moments like that. Because man, that game was 2-1 for a minute. And the Dodgers, you know, were struggling to kind of get runners in scoring position and make contact. And he comes up in a key situation, even gets to two strikes, but comes through in a big way to give the Dodgers a lead. It was so impactful. And then, of course, Manny Machado hits the big 3-run home run to kind of seal it and put it away. What did you think about Manny's moment?
Well, yeah. Now, look, earlier in the game, he committed the error. And you're like, oh, God, Manny, no, not now. But then he delivers. And the thing about Manny, Rodney, and it's why it's so mind-boggling if you want to focus down the road, he has to have these impactful, gigantic moments. And he did last night. I mean, if we just think back to when the Dodgers got him, of all of the moments he's had, I think that was the biggest one. I think that was the biggest moment he had, because the money, you know, it's money time, and he delivered. And if he can continue doing that, wow, I mean, these guys are going to be unstoppable. If he can deliver in those critical moments, and he did it last night, the minute he hit the ball, you knew it was gone. I was sitting in the left field press box area, and it was coming right at me. And the minute he hit it, I said, okay, maybe I can make a play on this thing because it's coming out here. And it completely deflated that stadium. The tomahawk chop, the chop shop was closed. It was over. And it was dead silent. And you knew right then the game was over.
So glad we don't have to hear that tomahawk chop war chant anymore this season, because that was definitely annoying. Yeah, no, I agree with you. And it was a moment that got tight, because that's another one that got to two strikes on him. And they talked about, he kind of missed it. He was going for an outside pitch. He got inside in Manny's wheelhouse, and Manny did not miss it. But you're right. And sometimes guys like that, big-time stars that are, about to get a big-time payday, and you trade for them, and you're waiting for that moment. And sometimes it's because they haven't had as many moments to do that in big-time games and playoff games. Yeah, they went back in Baltimore one time, but he hasn't had the moments. And a lot of people like to compare him. Oh, Jeter did this in big-time moment, and Jeter was special. That's not try to deflate what he did. But the Yankees were in the World Series and in the playoffs year after year after year after year after year after year. So the opportunities for him to succeed in big moments were more often. And whereas this is Manny's time and his chance, and I think, there is a lot of pressure on him because he is obviously looked upon as being the guy that's going to deliver for the Dodgers every time he comes up. He is looking for that big-time payday. So he's playing for a lot, and there is a lot of pressure on him. So it was really good to see, him come through in that moment. Not only just the home run, but the double in the first inning as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Afterwards, I asked him, I said, as we stand here now, when you opened the season in Baltimore, did you expect to be playing in a league championship series? And certainly for the Dodgers. And what he said was, look, I thought I was going to be in Baltimore all year. That's where I was, and that's where I was going to play it out. He said the same thing David Freese said. When I got here, these guys welcomed me with open arms. I felt as if I had been a part of the team all season long. He said it's a very inviting environment here. And he basically said it's conducive to success. When you get here, you feel as if you can succeed. And you feel as if you're going to win. Yeah. And that's just the atmosphere and the attitude that they have in that clubhouse. And maybe, Rodney, to circle back, that's why when everybody is, you've got a padded room for me, or Dodger fans are calling the show and complaining, that's why these guys are so calm. It's really interesting. You played. You've been in locker rooms. You know how this goes. I got to tell you, these guys, you can't shake them. You just can't.
Yeah.
They're just the same.
No, you're right about that. I mean, inside that locker room, when you've got a Justin Turner on your team, you got David Freese on your team, you've got Kershaw, you've got a Ryu's on fire right now, Walker Buehler, you've got, Kiki Hernandez is a hot hitter right now, and you got Bellinger, and you got Puig, and you got, Kemp on the bench. You feel good about your chances going into every single game. So I get that. It's like a comfort blanket when you walk into that clubhouse knowing that you got a team that can beat anybody on any given day. And any given day, you're probably going to be the favorite to beat the team that you're playing. So that is a great feeling. All right, when we come back, we're going to take some of your calls. Did Manny Machado redeem himself? Or did he even have to redeem himself? All that and more. We'll also get into the Brewers and that matchup. Lunchtime with Rogan and Roddy. I'm in studio. Fred's in Atlanta. He missed his flight, y'all. He missed his flight. AM 570, LA Sports.
Rodney, I feel that all the way here in Atlanta.
Right on. Thank you, Karen Sharp. Appreciate that. Before we take your calls, let's put a grand in your hand right now.
Now is the time.
Oh, my God.
Grab your phone. Win $1,000. Text the keyword cash to 200-200. That's cash to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry, plus iHeartRadio info. Standard message and data rates apply.
Good luck.
All right, make sure when you get that text, answer it. If somebody calls you, somebody texts you, answer the call, answer the text. That's the only way we put a grand in your hand. We're going to get to your calls right now, but Fred, I want to ask you, do you feel better or more confident than you felt last year with this team at this moment, or less confident?
Less confident. I feel less confident. I do. Yeah. I mean, this is an emotional roller coaster. By the way, I think they can win it all. But last year, I was very confident they could win it, and they didn't. This year, I'm not about to jump up and go, boy, we've got this one again, because just the ups and the downs. I think there's a chance they can win this thing, Rodney, but, man, it is such an emotional roller coaster that you just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you think about it. They would definitely earn it if they go all the way and win this thing, because they got to go through a hot Milwaukee team who won 11 straight and just demolished the Rockies. Now, albeit the Rockies were playing, in 35 cities in 3 days, but it's ran out of gas. But they are the hottest team with a great bullpen. And then on the other side, if they get there, they got to face a hot Red Sox team, which I think is going to beat the Yankees, and an Astro team who seems like to be peaking again at the right time. So it's going to be a tough road, but I agree with you. I last year was like very confident. Right now, I'm getting more confident, and I think they can get there. We'll just have to see how they perform in this series. All right, what do you guys think? What do you guys think about Manny? Did he redeem himself, or did he even need to redeem himself? Let's go to Manuel in Gardenia. Manuel, you're on AM570 LA Sports.
Fred Rogan, the Atlanta Brave himself, Rodney Pete, warrior of the gridiron. Fellas, he never had to redeem himself. As a matter of fact, like Tim Cates and all those fickle Dodger fans that were calling in yesterday, what are you talking about? This guy's been doing his job, whether if it's defensively. I mean, okay, he hasn't been a world beater like we thought maybe he was, but he's been solid. He hasn't been coming with like Josh Reddick-like numbers. That guy was an absolute waste of space when we acquired him 2 years ago. Dodger fans, make sure you put it in his ear hole that he's a loser when we host Houston, because it's going to be a rematch, baby. Dodgers in 6 and Dodgers in 5 over Milwaukee.
All right, man. Well, appreciate it.
That might have been a little severe. I mean, put it in his ear hole, he's a loser.
Come on now.
Not necessary for that, Manuel. Seriously. Hey, go up to the guy and yell at him. You're a loser.
Yeah, no.
Come on, Manuel.
Let's not do that. All right, let's go Kevin in Sacramento. Kevin, you're on AM570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
What's up, guys? How are you? I have to echo the sentiments of that last caller, actually. I mean, come on, man. He's been, even if he's not producing with the bat, man, he's doing it with the glove. So he's always bringing something to play. But here's what I really wanted to say. And we're talking about re-signing Manning. I've listened to Ned Colletti and Vasse talk about how difficult that's going to be. This seems like the same position we were 4 or 5 years ago when we had like 5 outfielders that we had to rotate out there, and guys ended up getting hurt. This guy got cold. You find a way to bring Manny Machado on your team again next year. You have to. This guy is dynamite, okay? And I'm not just jumping the bandwagon right now. He's been doing this his entire career. He's 26 years old. Come on, man. You've got to re-sign the dude.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Kevin. I appreciate it. Yeah,
you got to get him.
That's going to be tough, Fred, because, first of all, you got Corey Seager coming back. So now you're thinking about who is a everyday player. Do you move Corey to second base? Do you move Justin Turner to second base and make Manny third base? I mean, it's going to be a difficult decision, even beyond the money of seeing, where these guys will fit in.
All right, let me ask you this. First of all, if you can work out the money, and that's a big deal here, given the way the Dodgers are going to operate. And by the way, if you sit here and say, well, they should spend more, I think they're doing just fine. I think they're doing just fine now. They're back in the NLCS.
Yeah.
So let's say, Rodney, you can work it out. Let's say somehow you can figure it out. I'm betting they don't, but let's say they do. All right. Is this a possibility? Do you trade Seager? Do you move him? If you sign Manny,
because you're gonna have to pay him soon. You're gonna have to pay Seager very soon.
Yeah, but you got a couple of you're gonna have to pay him soon.
Either
right.
You pay him. Yeah, now are you gonna really pay him? They could do him, kind of a Mike Trout thing, get him locked up a little bit earlier, maybe a situation. But yeah, somebody's got to go, right?
I mean, but could that be the guy?
Oh,
a rookie
hard.
Of the year? I mean, you scratch your head and you think about it, but then you say, look, if you sign Machado, if you sign him for multiple years, he's your guy, okay? And there's, right now, you still have Justin Turner. You hope Max Muncy has a year next year like he had this year. Let's say he does. All of a sudden, you look around and you go, well, maybe somebody will have to go. Maybe somebody will have to move. I don't know. Yeah. To me, it seems unthinkable to do that.
Yeah, but I'm wondering because you know you look at guys like Corey Seager, who again rookie of the year, Cody Bellinger rookie of the year. You're looking at those guys as that's your Dodger future, right?
Right.
That's your future, the Dodgers. So even that thought, I didn't even think that way, Fred, until you brought it up. Now you give me a headache, man.
Well, I don't want to do that, but
I mean, but yeah, but if they go on and win it, they go on and win it, and Manny keeps doing what he's doing, it'll be hard pressed for them not to sign him again.
I know, and then somebody's got to go, and that's the problem.
Yeah. All right, let's take one more real quick. Let's go Mitch. Mitch and Tarzana, you're on AM 570 LA Sports.
What's happening, guys? Good show.
Thank you. Thank you, Mitch. What you got?
Fred, come on. I'm pretty confident. They got five sluggers since last year, minus Corey. That should be enough. The offense is going to win it for us. And I think this shows you got to keep Manny, re-sign him. He's your cleanup guy, him and Corey. We're going to be good for years, and I think Clayton will come back. I think I gave you a lot here.
You gave me a lot, well, Mitch. I appreciate it. Go ahead,
yeah,
Fred.
Mitch, and thank you for critiquing your own call. That's very kind of you. For you to suggest that you gave us a lot, thank you. And you did it in short order, Mitch, which makes it even better. So we appreciate that.
Yeah,
this Thursday, starting at 2, join Petros and Money live from BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse in Irvine, located at 13130 Jamboree Road. Stop by and try the baby back ribs with a house salad, signature sides, and a mini pizookie, all along with drink specials.
Is it real?
They're real, and they're spectacular.
Or fake news?
Fake.
And join us today. We did it in echo. Go ahead, Fred.
Joining us today to compete.
I only did that because I'm looking right at her.
Oh, how'd she look today?
She's average.
Excuse me?
I'm kidding.
Wow.
I'm kidding. She
is
never average.
I see what you're doing. All right. Trying to get in my head.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You see. Go ahead, Fred.
Hey, Fred.
My dear friend. Hey, Alicia Del Valle from NBC4. You know, Alicia and I traveled during the World Series.
Yes.
Have you been told if they go to the World Series, are you going again?
You know, management has not told me, but Major League Baseball sent me my World Series credentials. So,
woohoo! All right, Lisa, you're a big Dodger fan. Are you confident in this series going forward with the Dodgers and the Brewers?
I am confident.
Yeah?
I don't know what it is about this team versus last year, but there's something a little bit more of a swagger.
So you're more confident this
I
year
am.
Than last year.
I actually am. I didn't think I would be. I was really bummed out last year. I think we blew it. I thought we had everything lined up. All the pieces were in place, and I want Kershaw to get his ring. So I was bummed last season. But this season, I'm feeling something.
All right.
I am.
All right, let's go. I'm feeling a win right now. That's what I'm feeling.
Oh.
All right, let's find out. The Dodgers' Manny Machado gave a fan $1,800 at his practice jersey for his home run ball. Braves fan Robert Schilling caught Manny Machado's game-breaking three-run home run yesterday. After a post-game negotiation, Schilling received $1,800 and Machado's practice jersey in exchange for the home run ball. Rodney, is that real or fake?
It sounds like a nice gesture. It sounds like it's something that you can make a movie out of. Sounds like something that happened on a sitcom. But... practice jersey, yeah, but giving up $1,800 for a home run ball, you know, it wasn't it was a game winner, series, wasn't the World Series. I'm saying it's fake.
You're going fake.
I'm going fake.
Alicia.
You know, I'm going to agree. I don't want to, but I think it's fake as well, Fred. I think I would have heard about this. And I don't think that's enough money.
Alicia, $1,800 is a drop in the bucket to Manny Machado.
Exactly. I think that.
So you're still going to say fake. Is that right?
Yes.
It's all fake news.
Yes.
Yeah. Phony stuff.
I see what you're doing, Fred. I thought about it. Did you hear that?
Well, you know, so I don't want Rodney to sit here and say, no,
that
you're
was,
giving her
that
eye
was
signals.
The first time. That was the first time that you tried to get someone else to change their opinion, and it was wrong.
He's just trying to keep it interesting. I see what's happening. Okay.
All right, let's see how this one goes. Josh Norman and Michael Thomas get into heated exchange on Twitter. Norman then deletes his tweets. Saints receiver Michael Thomas had a big night last night against the Redskins and their corner Josh Norman. They proceeded to get into a heated exchange on Twitter before Norman deleted his tweets. Thomas then sent the following tweet. You corny for deleting your tweets. We grown man walk it like you talk it, goof, ball, con, artist. This my favorite part when we find out you not who you say you are. I think I did a good job reading that.
No, you sounded like a 90-year-old Fox News guy.
Walk it, like it, talk it.
I could have been on MSNBC, you know, Rodney. I didn't have to be on Fox News.
Well, MSNBC a little bit more hip, man. A little, you know.
I could have been on CNN. Could have been on Bloomberg. All right, Alicia, is that real or fake?
You know, I like the way you read it, Fred, and I think I could see that happening. I really do.
Right, because I read it in a very, very hip way, as it was written.
No, I think I'm going to go true. There's a lot of tweeting back and forth. Yes, it's real.
Well, I know Rodney's going to go fake because he didn't believe the way I read it.
I didn't believe the way you read it. But there was a lot of trash talking with those two, and Thomas got the best of Josh Norman, who is one of the biggest trash talkers in the world. And he called him out for deleting the tweets when a guy that tweets more than anybody. So I'm going real on that one.
See there, I guess the read wasn't that bad.
Bravo.
Guess it wasn't that bad, Rodney.
We had to decipher through all the stuff that you read.
Well, yeah, you had to wear your decoder ring. I'm not saying you didn't. Bring out your abacus. I get it. All right, former USC safety Bubba Bolden reveals reason he left the Trojans. A day after the USC football team officially removed Bubba Bolden from its roster, saying he was no longer enrolled at the school, he posted an explanation for his departure on his Instagram account. After stating that he had a heavy heart for leaving his dream school, he wrote, "My behavior at the party was not reflective of my character, which my family, friends, teammates, and many more admire. And for this, I am truly sorry." Two Trojans in the room. Rodney, is that real or fake?
Wow. I must have missed that one watching the Dodger game and the Yankees get blown out. The way you read that, Fred, I'm just going to go off the way you read it. You read it like it was real. So I'm going real.
So now you're going to listen to the way I read it. Okay. Yeah. I'll keep that in mind for the next one.
When I don't know the answer.
Right.
All right. Alicia.
My gut is saying it's fake. I'm going to go fake news. I didn't hear about it. I follow a lot of SC Daily Trojans online and on Twitter. Fake. I'm going fake.
All right. Your guts. Yeah. Your gut said fake.
Dang
but it was real. All right. You're down one.
Oh, boo.
Yeah.
Boo.
You're down one.
All right.
Rams offensive lineman tweets that Jared Goff will run down Drew Brees on the all-time passing yards list one day. Since quarterback Drew Brees became the NFL's all-time passing leader on Monday, he passed Peyton Manning on the list. Rams offensive lineman Andrew Whitworth retweeted an NFL post acknowledging the record with the caption, "Congratulations to Drew Brees. Well deserved. He'll be a nice placeholder until Jared Goff takes it in 10 years. Alicia, is that real or fake?
Dang it. I'm actually not sure. And I need to win. I can't let Roddy win.
Well, yeah, you screwed up the
and
last one if you don't listen to the way I read it.
He is giving me, making faces at me, trying to hex me. Let's see. Okay, this is very exciting. I don't know. I think he's too nice. I don't think he's... I see the tweet as being a congratulations tweet, yes. But I don't think he ended it with wait till Goff gets it. So I'm going to say fake.
You're saying fake.
I'm Ron Burgundy? Yeah, I'm saying fake.
All right, Rodney.
You went Ron Burgundy on it. Yeah, I agree with Alicia because he's a veteran guy. He's a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he just left it at congratulations if he did tweet at all. I don't think he put the Jared Goff is going to take your record or pass you up or this is a place. That's a shot. So I don't think he would do that. So I'm going fake.
So all said fake. News. It's phony stuff.
All right.
Yeah.
Alicia,
oh, wait,
two
I'm
to
still
go.
Losing. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Applaud yourself for losing.
Hey, Fred.
Well done.
Never lost.
Oh God.
No.
This is your daily admiration.
Never lost.
See, now I know that was never you doing that, Fred.
Never lost.
You're not here.
I told you it wasn't
that.
Me.
Yep.
All right. Now this one surprises me. This might be a trick question. I'm just saying. Before I ask it. Because I know the answer to this, and I'm not even sure this is the right answer, okay? No, I've set it up. Los Angeles ranks number one for traffic congestion in U.S.
This is not fair. Let's say it already.
Here's what you can do to avoid. Yeah. I'm telling you now, I'm going to see this. I'll read it, then you answer, and I see it a little differently. Anyway, here's what you can do to avoid or ease lengthy commutes. According to TomTom's Traffic Index, which we check every day, and the American Community Survey, Los Angeles is ranked number one for traffic congestion. The City of Angels has had a congestion level of 45. San Francisco was second at 39. New York City is at 35. So, Rodney, is Los Angeles number one? Now, you've traveled the country, as yes. have I.
Hmm.
Is that real or fake?
You know, where you are right now, Fred, is pretty bad.
It is bad.
It is horrible. People don't know about Atlanta being that bad, but it is bad. But L.A., ooh, yeah, I'm going to say yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's
are you real. Sure you want to say real?
Oh, just, now you're getting
I'm
into
just
mix,
saying.
Huh? Yeah, I'm sure I want to say real. I've traveled right. these streets.
All right, Alicia.
It's real. We're number one. We've been number one. We're not going to lose that ranking. We're number one. We're number one. I say that is completely real.
Shocker yeah. that you know that one.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, but you know what I thought it was? I thought it was Washington, D.C.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm.
No.
You know, Honolulu.
Have you been in the streets, Fred?
Honolulu
I have.
Is top 10 as well, top 5.
Honolulu?
Yeah.
Where is anybody going in Honolulu?
Just the city is so congested, it doesn't move. That's the thing. Per people that have to sit in traffic. So we have a lot of people here and a lot of traffic. We're sprawled out.
Yeah.
And we don't have the train service that you do back east.
All right, this good is the point. Last one. Alicia?
That's why you're the best in the business.
You know Alicia, you.
Yes.
You can either tie or lose. So you'll probably walk out a loser today. I'm just being honest with you.
Oh.
I don't want you to be upset.
Never lost.
Because what do I do, Fred?
You play to win.
There you go.
I play
you
to
play
win.
To win. All right, well, let's see what happens here, and good luck to you.
Okay.
Sophie Turner and Maisie Williams bonded on the set of Game of Thrones by smoking weed and watching funny videos together. Actress Sophie Turner and Maisie Williams play Sansa and Arya Stark on HBO's Game of Thrones. Turner told Vulture this at the New York Comic Con recently about what the two of them did on the set, she said. We just used to sit there and eat and watch stupid videos and smoke weed. I don't know if my publicist will kill me for saying this. We'd get high, then we'd sit in the bath together, and we'd rub makeup brushes on our faces. It's fun. God, I'd like to know more about that. But anyway, if that is in fact happening, is it real or fake? They sat in a bath together?
Yeah.
Smoked weed? Rub makeup brushes on their faces?
Wow, tell me more.
And it was
tell
fun.
Me more.
That's what I'm thinking.
Fred wanted to read that one more time.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, you had me.
They lit candles?
Up until they sat in the bath together. I believe
right.
they smoked weed and watched videos. That's what a lot of millennials do. They drink less, they smoke more. So, and it's
right.
legal everywhere. Well, almost everywhere.
Right.
But then I'm not sure about the bathtub part.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
And I do love me some Game of Thrones. Should I just go real? Let's go real. I think that's real.
Mm. Rodney.
Yeah, you know, maybe we should get Vic in here. He's a gamer. He knows all things Game of Thrones and the characters. Yeah, it sounds like something that they would do. Teenagers? Kind of, aren't they teenagers?
No, they're young adults, like early
young adult,
20s.
Young 20s. Yeah. Arya's got to be a teenager. She's not that old. Arya Stark, the young one.
Okay, yeah, I could see like
badass,
18
though. Badass little girl. In
yes,
game,
she
so.
Is.
Smoking weed. Even if it's true, I don't think they say it. I don't think they say it at an event like that. Did you say it's real?
I said it's real.
Yeah. But maybe
bathtub.
They did. Maybe
bathtub.
They did.
Bathtub.
Bathtub.
Everybody likes a good bath.
Bathtub.
I'm going real.
Ow!
Dang it. Dang it.
I tried, Alicia.
You did.
I tried to turn him at the end.
I heard. I appreciate that, Fred. I dang it. Now
I'm upset. See, I thought you were going fake, Rodney, the way you were setting it up.
I know. But then I went back to thinking, Fred, what do? I play to win.
That's what you do.
I play to
that's
win.
That's who you are.
If Alicia says
yeah.
real, I got to say real because I'm one up and that's how you play to
that's
win.
That's how you play.
That's how to play to win.
Mm-hmm.
Alicia Del Valle, thank you very much for coming in. Appreciate it.
Good to be here.
Yes.
See you soon, Fred. Travel safely.
Right
All
on.
Right, I'll see you tomorrow, Alicia.
Yours.
When we come back, We will, you know, we had some predictions yesterday, and some people got some things right. We're going to check in with some of those folks. Lunchtime with Rogan and Rodney, AM 570 LA Sports. That's right, big boy. What's up to you? All right. So, Fred, you know, we talked a lot yesterday how important it was for the Dodgers to close them out yesterday's game. Didn't want to get to a game five. Although, if it did get to a game five, Kershaw was definitely going to go. But it was important for the Dodgers, as we talk about a lot on this show, when it comes to teams in L.A. like the Rams, to impose their will. And they imposed their will on the Atlanta Braves. You know, it to me, it felt like those first couple of games when we talked about the Braves looked like they were deer in the headlights. They hadn't been there before, and the Dodgers looked like the senior right. team. It felt like that a little bit yesterday, especially after Dodgers took the lead. It was even before Manny hit it. It felt like it was over after the freeze hit to bring in two runs. So yesterday, going into that game, we had some predictions of what was going to happen, and our own Michelle Gonzalez predicted the score to be 6-2. Michelle, give me your prediction on the Dodgers
all right.
today.
I think the Dodgers are going to do it. They're going to pull it through. I'm hoping to see Belly do something right because I miss seeing his bombs out there. So I'm going to say 6-2 Dodgers.
Yeah.
Well, she was right on with that. And our own Rob Parker, who was in yesterday, he had this to say.
I got Manny Machado's going
to
come up in the game.
Do we need to play Bob Marley? Do we got to play Bob Marley for redemption?
Redemption, there you go. with two men on like he did in the ninth inning, right, where he struck out. This time he'll hit a three-run bomb. I got a 5-3 Dodgers, and I think they put away the Braves.
How about that? And joining us right now is that very man, Rob Parker. What's going on, Rob?
Yo, what's up, Rodney? What's up, Fred? You know I got my chest stuck out today. Come on, man. You know I do.
Hey, Rob, you didn't just predict a Manny home run. You predicted a three-run home run, which is what exactly he hit.
Well, you know what? We were hard on him, at least I was, for that bad at-bat in Game 3 where he struck out on a pitch that was, like, ridiculous. But and I think a caller even called in and was kind of ripping on Manny that he wasn't a great player. He's a great player. I expect big things from him. There was his big moment for the Dodgers, and he came through for them, put him over the top, you know, to kind of get rid of the Atlanta Braves. And this is what we talked about yesterday. The Dodgers are head and shoulders above the Braves. That doesn't mean that the Braves are stinky or no good. It's just that they're young and they're ahead of schedule. The Dodgers are the proven seasoned veteran team. They should have swept the Braves. Braves somehow got a game, but now the Dodgers back on course. So that was great for them to get it over with, not to have a game five, and to have the guy that they're going to be looking to as we go forward, you know, to have the big home run. So it was a good day for the Dodgers.
You know, Rob, it's funny because I had to jump off yesterday and run and get on Channel 4. But when I was on, I didn't hear that segment. I did hear you say that the Dodgers were in trouble. And that the Braves, you let a young team off the hook like that, the Dodgers could be in big trouble. So what happened between 1 o'clock? No, what happened between 10 o'clock and 11:40?
I never said the Dodgers were going to lose. Because Rodney, I never did. I just said you don't want to give a team any kind of life. That's all I was saying was I just didn't like Game 3 because the Dodgers are so much better than the Braves. So there were people on Twitter and Instagram talking about stop hating on the Dodgers and all kinds of stuff, you know, because of what I was just talking about. I'm just saying, if you give people life, sometimes they come back to bite you.
Yeah, we talked
about. I never was in doubt.
We talked about not letting it get to a game five and how important that game was. All right, so you said that about the Braves, Rob. What about the Brewers? They hadn't been there since 2011. Ryan Braun, I think, is the only player on that team that was on the team when they were in the playoffs the last time. Obviously, they got Lorenzo Cain, who was a part of the World Series with the Royals. But is it the similar scenario that a team that hasn't been there, guys haven't been there, maybe they surprised people this year, meaning the Brewers, that the Dodgers are running up against the same team, a similar team like the Braves, or are the Brewers on a different level?
Brewers are on a different level. If we go look at that roster and look at some of the players they have, they got a good team. They've won 11 in a row. hard to do that. I don't care who you're playing, when it is. That speaks volumes of where they are. And I think this is going to be a hard-fought series. I really think the Brewers are a really good team that's going to present a problem for the Dodgers. I do expect the Dodgers to make it to the World Series again. I think they'll win it. It'll be in 6 or 7 games, but I don't think it's going to be easy at all.
Hey, Rob, what about Milwaukee's pitching? What can you tell us? Do you know anything?
I just know their bullpen is really good. And I didn't even know what's the kid's name? Hader?
Hader, yeah.
Who got in trouble in after the All-Star game, you remember, with some racist tweets or whatever they've dug up. But anyway, I've seen that guy pitch, and wow, is he a stud. No wonder they didn't want to get rid of him. You know what I'm saying? Like, he is an awesome pitcher from the left side. All I know is that their bullpen is really good. And so I guess you got to kind of break through against their starters and not let the game wait till the late innings if the Dodgers want to beat them.
Yeah, they're like, you know, not like most teams that we've talked about late in the season and even in the postseason, is that you're trying to get to the bullpen. With the Brewers, it's like their bullpen is their strength. And if you get to them, that doesn't mean that you're off the hook because they can be so dominant. All right, on the other side, guys, we're going to talk some Lakers. LeBron, Lonzo is going to play his first game. The Warriors, it's preseason still, but does it mean anything that the Lakers, with LeBron now, are playing the Warriors? We'll get into that and more on the other side. It's lunchtime with Rogan and Rodney. Fred's in Atlanta. He missed his flight, y'all. He missed his flight. I'm in studio. Talk to you. AM 570, LA Sports. Rodney Pete and Fred Rogan. Fred's in Atlanta. I'm in studio. Talked a lot of Dodgers last hour. We'll get back into them later in the hour. But right now, I want to get into some Laker talk. Fred, you know, Lonzo Ball is going to play for the first time tomorrow night. They play the Warriors. It's still preseason. LeBron James came out in an Instagram or tweet, I believe it was, that called Lonzo the Little King. What do you make of that? And is that putting extra added pressure on Lonzo, given the fact that Magic said he was going to be in the Raptors? Everybody has anointed him as being the savior of the Lakers. LeBron comes here. There's pressure on playing with LeBron. And now LeBron himself calls him the Little King.
You know, I remember when Kareem and Magic were playing together. And Magic came in and said, no, Kareem's the cap. Kareem's the captain. Everything moves around Kareem. And it was really a brilliant maneuver by Magic. I like that LeBron James did that. I think it's a boost of confidence for Lonzo. I also think, and you may see it differently, it removes some pressure from him because LeBron has already given him his stamp of approval. Now, it's you know, we'll see how he plays, but at least at this point, LeBron has given him his stamp of approval. So I think it removes some of the pressure from Lonzo. It doesn't add any pressure.
You know, I get that. I hear where you're coming from. Let's hear from the guy that we know is inside. He's our Lakers insider and the Lakers beat writer for The Athletic, our man Bill Oram. Bill, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good. All right, LeBron calls him the Little King. He's playing tomorrow night. How big is this game, number one? And number two, does it mean anything that LeBron has kind of anointed him as Little King?
Well, I certainly agree with Fred. I think, you know, the amount of pressure Lonzo's had over the – and by the way, I don't say that very often that I agree with Fred. But in this,
thank you,
in this situation –
thanks for that clarity, Bill. I appreciate that.
I wanted to take a moment to recognize the significance of this moment in history. Yeah, I mean, you look at the scrutiny and criticism that Lonzo Ball endured as a rookie. All of that was because there was so much riding on his shoulders. Now a lot of that has been taken off by the mere presence of LeBron James, and for LeBron to basically say, if you're reading between the lines of that post, I believe in Lonzo Ball, I think he's going to be fine, that completely should redirect some of that scrutiny that is on the Lakers, so it's not just on Lonzo Ball. I think it's better. And by the way, you got to go back up almost a full year when Lonzo Ball turned 20 last October. LeBron James sent out a tweet wishing Lonzo happy birthday, and he called him the young king then, too. So there's been this momentum where LeBron has demonstrated an appreciation for the way Lonzo plays the game what he considers the right way, passing pass first. And LeBron said last year when he was asked about that tweet, you know, he knew that Lonzo grew up idolizing LeBron, that LeBron was his favorite player, And so he wanted to kind of, show his respect back. So, I mean, that's been something that's sort of been key. But I think for him to come out now and just say, you know, you were born for this, that was part of that Instagram post, does show that he has the support, that Lonzo has the support of the greatest active player. And that should keep the haters off of Lonzo's back, at least for a little while.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty smart play. It makes complete sense to me because, first, LeBron needs Lonzo to play well. I mean, you know, the deal is here for the Lakers to win. He needs Lonzo to play well. Second, that endorsement, I think, gives Lonzo a little breathing room emotionally and mentally. And by the way, Bill, I love what the Lakers have done with him this preseason. I love the fact that he's not played, that they've not put the pressure on him. They put him in a no-win situation last year. And, Magic may have contributed a little bit to that with his comments, although he only wanted good for Lonzo. His dad, who we've not heard from, thank God, did a lot of that as well. I love the way they've handled this year. Bring him along slowly. He's not the focal point. Let him work his way in, and then we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, they've done what I consider to be a really good job of managing expectations for him this season, as opposed to last year when they just gave him the keys to the whole franchise. There wasn't a backup point guard on the roster except for Tyler Ennis, and then Brandon Ingram ended up playing some point. This year there's another point guard, somebody to challenge him in practice, someone for him to emulate, but also someone to kind of keep the seat warm while he develops. You're in good hands with Rajon Rondo if Lonzo needs a little more time to develop. But make no mistake, the Lakers, like you said, Fred, the Lakers do need Lonzo Ball to be every bit as good as advertised. You don't have a point guard of the future other than Lonzo Ball. He is the guy that you spent a number two pick on, that you've been grooming for this. It's okay if he takes part of this year to kind of grow into that role, but if by the end of the year you're still thinking that Rajon Rondo is a better fit for this team, that's a problem. And so for Lonzo Ball, this year is pretty critical in my mind to kind of put the finishing touches on kind of his game to be ready for next year, when I think we all agree it's really go time for the Lakers, when they expect to be making that next jump, not just into being a playoff team like this year, but a team that's going to challenge the Golden State Warriors. So this year is critical for him, but I do agree that by bringing him along slowly, they've helped manage the expectations. He was probably ready to play a week ago. He could have been out there in some of those preseason games playing limited minutes and getting some of those reps, but the Lakers knew he's still rusty. He hasn't been on the floor in 6 months. Get him as much time in practice as humanly possible to make sure that when you do put him on the court, he's going to look as good as he can. And that way, you minimize the risk of him opening himself up to criticism right away and enduring the sort of scrutiny that he did all year last year, which I think we all saw that, you know, really took its toll on him ultimately.
Hey, Bill, what's the significance of tomorrow night? I know it's the first time they're going to play together, Lonzo and LeBron, but it's also the Warriors. It's the first look they're going to have in LeBron in a Laker uniform. I know it's still preseason, but does it carry any more weight?
It will, and probably until the next time, which is Friday. It's one of those things that will feel pretty big in the moment, as big moments go, it'll probably fade pretty quickly. Keep in mind, this is going to be one of six matchups between the Lakers and Warriors. You're not going to see the top guys play the entire game. LeBron hasn't played in the second half of a game yet. So seeing LeBron play against the team that he has faced in the last four finals is certainly compelling. Seeing him surrounded by a new cast of characters, including Lonzo Ball for the first time, is extremely compelling. But I think it's going to be a lot more significant when they get into the regular season and they play for the first time on Christmas up in Oakland. But obviously the storylines are pretty rich, and it'll be fun to watch. I think we're all excited to see kind of how it looks finally now that the Lakers will have what we expect to be their full squad. Josh Hart's questionable with a hamstring thing that isn't serious, but not quite clear if he'll play tomorrow. But otherwise, this is what the Lakers are going to look like for the first couple quarters at least.
Hey, Bill, you see him every day. I don't. You're there every single day. I think they'll win 50 games. Given what you've seen so far, can they win 50 games? Am I nuts?
No, I think that's realistic. I think there's a range. I think there's a range for what this team can achieve this year, and 50 wins is certainly in that range. It's probably a little closer to the high end, but a Lakers staffer just walked by and they told me that's low. So take that for what you will. But But you know, if the Lakers win 50 games, they're looking pretty good in the Western Conference, in that middle of the Western Conference, potentially home court advantage on a team that is still very young, a team that is relying on players like Lance Stephenson, JaVale McGee, Michael Beasley. I think that'd be a really good year. But there are some concerns. There are very real concerns about the defense. And LeBron James's teams typically don't defend that well, but make up for it with offense. It'll be interesting to see how the Lakers kind of balance that, because the Lakers have put such a huge emphasis on the defensive side of the ball. I'll be interested to see if they are able to fully compensate for it and how many games that ends up costing them. But if you go back to last year when they won 35 games with the worst team, they were in a lot of games that they lost, a whole lot of games that came down to the final few possessions that they didn't have the guy that they could go to be a closer. They have a closer now, so I think most of those games that were losses would be victories now. And then additionally, just the games that they'll be in that they weren't even in. So I think 15 wins, to be plus 15 wins from a year ago is not a crazy thought.
All right, Bill, tell that staffer I already called my guy in Vegas and booked it. All right, man.
Well, I'll be in Vegas tonight, so I can make sure that bet got through.
I'm sure you got Fred's credit card, so make sure you put it down. Bill, thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you real soon.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get more Dodgers. David Vassay is going to join us to talk about not only the win in the LCDS, but also the Brewers, what to expect, and how confident the Dodgers are feeling. It's Lunchtime with Rogan and Roddy on AM 570 LA Sports. Thanks, Gary and Shannon. I will never confuse you for interns. All right, Fred, I want to get into a little bit of the Brewers. We talked a little bit with Rob Parker, but they are a team that people don't know a whole lot about. But they added some guys in the offseason, and this team, for Dodger fans, for people who haven't watched them much, they are a very, very potent lineup offensively, and they got some guys in the bullpen and their pitching staff that is very good. They've won 11 straight. Rob said that. But they are a team to be reckoned with, they're playing the best baseball of the season right now. They ended the season well. They ended up beating the Cubs to win the division and went on and swept the Rockies. They are a very hot team, a team that I know a lot of people out there still are predicting the Dodgers. They've predicted the Dodgers to win the series, but this is no easy task for the Dodgers.
No, I agree. We know they've got a bullpen, and I think tomorrow what we'll end up doing is bringing on someone from Milwaukee so they can run down the team, as we had the person from Atlanta come on and run down the Braves for us. They're terrific and they're red hot. It comes down to this. I think you've got to get to them early and knock their starter out, because when their bullpen comes in, they're pretty effective. So I think what the Dodgers have to do against Milwaukee, you got to get to them early and you got to get to them big.
Yeah.
And then just hang on for dear life.
Yeah, I agree, because if it's a close ball game or a tie ball game in the seventh, or inning or later, and you get to their bullpen, it's not like other teams where that's all we want to do is get to their bullpen and we can be very effective. When you get to their bullpen, that becomes their strength, and especially if it's late in games, especially if it's tied or they're up one, or even if you're up one, there's no guarantee you're getting any more runs off of that bullpen. And then offensively, I mean, Christian Yelich has had the season of seasons. I mean, he is, to me, I don't know another guy that should win the MVP other than him.
How would you like to be his parents out in Westlake? My God, to see your son play like that is absolutely mind-boggling. It's a great story. Yeah, I hope the Dodgers shut him down, but boy, what a season he has had for the Brewers.
Yeah, I mean, and a guy, think about that outfield with Stanton, Ozuna and Yelich that were down in Miami. They shipped them all out, and now they're playing different places, and two of them are in the postseason. All right, guess who's on the line there, Fred? Your man, your partner.
Is Dave here?
Your partner in Atlanta. You guys hung out together, right? David Vassay joins us. What's up, Dave?
Fred, I wasn't even sure if you were back in L.A. I didn't see you last night.
What?
Yeah, well, first,
wait,
no,
what?
I have a story.
Dave, what?
I saw Dave.
Are you in Maui
Whoa,
right now, Fred?
Whoa, Dave, clarify. Dave. What in the world, Dave? We all thought he was in Atlanta. He's not in Atlanta?
I saw him on Sunday. He was getting ready if the Dodgers swept, but I was doing my own thing, so I did not see him.
Yeah, see, I wanted to pay you a huge compliment because I did see you last night. And now, if you don't think David Vasse is big time, I'm here to tell you, Rodney, David Vasse is big time. As we are all lined up outside of the clubhouse, getting ready to go in, and I don't know who this guy is from Major League Baseball, Dave, so you can fill me in. Somebody sure. walks out. And what is this guy's name for Major League Baseball?
Chuck Torres, one of the best.
Okay. He walks out, and he's looking at everybody standing in line, and nobody's going in. Alana didn't go in. The Spectrum camera didn't go in. We couldn't go in. KTLA was there. They couldn't go in. National media, MLB Network couldn't go in. This guy walks out, and everybody's standing there, and he goes, Vasse, let's go. You were in there 20 minutes before anybody else got in there. I thought, my God, you are a god, because they don't let anybody in there. But they let you in there, and this guy specifically pointed at you and said, let's go. I thought, now you are the man. For you to be able to do that, to get in before anybody else, that was very impressive, Dave, I have to tell you.
Thank you, Fred. And I was scrambling. Maybe that's why I did not see you last night, because I was doused with so much alcohol that it actually short-circuited our wireless mic. And I was scrambling at that point in time, and luckily our producer-engineer, Dwayne McDonald, came down and rescued me and fixed it all up. But that's how much alcohol was dumped on all of us last night in that clubhouse in Atlanta.
Yeah, you and Puig had another moment, Dave. I mean, it keeps getting more and more and more and more. You guys got to go on the road with this show.
Maybe, Rodney. Like I said before, I'm just as mean Gene Okerlund, and he just goes. And he saw me, you know, like Fred mentioned, I was in there a little bit earlier, so he saw me. And when he was going back out to the dugout, he said, see you soon. And so he was ready for all this. So he was getting ready. He was excited about it. He knew it went viral, and he was ready for his encore.
All right, Dave, aside from the celebration last night and the sense of relief Dodger fans had all over the place, now, what do we know about Milwaukee? Have you done any homework on them yet?
I have, and what was great, Fred, is it's not so much me doing homework. The Dodger coaches were doing a lot of homework on the plane flight home from Atlanta last night. Dodger bench coach Bob Guerin, as soon as the plane barely lifted off, he was already busting out his scouting report on the Brewers, got his laptop surface going, and was really punching those keys on his computer and getting ready for the Milwaukee Brewers, because the Dodgers coaching staff and front office have a meeting this afternoon at 5 o'clock, so they need to get ready and focused on the Brewers as the players were celebrating on the plane. Rick Honeycutt, their pitching coach, was huddling with Andrew Friedman to go over the scouting report as well to line up their pitching, so the coaches in the front office were definitely doing their work on the way back. But what I can tell you about the Milwaukee Brewers, there's no secret. They have the best bullpen in the National League and arguably the best bullpen of any remaining team in the postseason. It actually reminds me a lot of the Kansas City Royals that went to the back-to-back World Series, won one, lost one, and they were built on their bullpen, they were built on their team defense and their speed, and the Brewers are built similar to that, although they do have a lot more pop than those Royals, but number one, their bullpen is what has gotten them to the NLCS.
Hey, Dave, how good was it to see, and not just for him, but for the rest of the team, after, you know, game three at the end, you know, Manny swings at a bad pitch outside the zone, strikes out, and then comes back, hits a double, and then hits the big three-run home run. How good was that for him and for the rest of the Dodgers team to see him do that?
Yeah, not only swinging at that bad pitch in the ninth inning of game three, Rodney, but how about making that big error in the fifth inning? Luckily, it didn't come back to cost the Dodgers, but it could have, and it extended the inning. That was an inning-ending tailor-made double play that he booted, and Ryan Madsen had to come in after that to put out the fire, and he did a great job doing that, getting the final two outs. But one thing that I was told after the game last night from Dodger third base coach Chris Woodward, who also is the infield coach, Manny Machado came in after that error and talked about it, accepted it, and knew he was going to do something great after that. And that's something that the Dodger coaches, their team psychologists preach all the time. Accept the mistakes, Don't shrink from it. Learn from it and move on to be great. And that's exactly what you saw Manny Machado do last night.
Have you seen Machado grow emotionally since he's joined the Dodgers from when he started?
I wouldn't say grown emotionally, Fred. I think it's been a challenge for him to try to fight himself from trying to do too much. He obviously knows he's on the verge of a big payday. He's trying to impress not only the Dodgers, but also other teams in baseball to try to get that big deal. And I think sometimes we see him try to do too much. And what I mean by that is exactly what we saw in the ninth inning, expanding the zone. The Dodgers did not need a home run. He had home run swings. The Dodgers just needed a base hit right there, and maybe he was trying to impress a little bit too much with that swing. And I've seen that on and off since he's become a Dodger, and what made him so great in Baltimore was he would take the base hit. He wouldn't just swing for the fences, and hopefully he's learned from that in the first round of the postseason.
All right, Dave, I appreciate it. Looking forward to seeing you back here. Big series coming up with the Brewers. We'll talk to you soon.
You're not going to see me for a while, right?
You're not coming in?
To Milwaukee.
You're not coming in?
No.
Come on, man.
Why don't you come to Milwaukee, Rodney? I'll see you.
I heard the plane came in. RJ had to leave at midnight last night to go unpack the buses. And I know you're in town, man. You're not coming by to say hello?
You know, my schedule's really booked, Rodney. I apologize.
Look at you. Look at you. All right, Dave. I get it. You big time.
I got to go see Chip Kelly, Rodney.
Yeah, he needs some help.
All right, guys. Have fun. I'll see you later.
Thanks.
All right, Dave. So don't forget, you will hear all of the action right here on AM 570 LA Sports, your home for the Dodgers. Every game is brought to you live, and we'll start them all off with Morongo Casino, Dodgers on deck. The Dodgers and the Brewers will get started on Friday.
It's time for good call.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Bad call.
I may have to hang up on him.
Yay. Remember, this Thursday, starting at 2 p.m., join Petros and Money. They're doing it live from BJ's Restaurant and Brew House in Irvine, 13130 Jamboree Road. Win playoff tickets to Game 3 here in L.A. No feeling you, 66. Hit a solid 333 in the NLDS.
Yes, he did.
333. Puig is just poised for Milwaukee, man. Loves hitting it there.
There's not a shortstop in Milwaukee that he knows really well like Culberson that he's going to hug, is he?
You never know with 66. He's open. He's wild. He is El Caballo Salvaje. The wild horse will run free in Beer City. Okay, Vic now.
Come on now, Vic. Mm. Good call or bad call for the Astros to play in the early time window during the division series. Of course, the defending champs sweeping the Cleveland Indians with their victory yesterday, but every game of the series that they had was in the early time window being snubbed by the Yankees and Red Sox, who have been in prime time. And a third baseman for the Astros, Alex Bregman, felt some type of way about it. Here's him on the local interview on ABC 13 after the game yesterday.
I've been saying this all day. I hope the rest of the world knows. Does Tiger Woods tee off at 8 a.m. when he's going to win a master? Does Floyd Mayweather play the first fight of the night? It's about time the Showstros are on primetime television. I got a sunburn today. I'm not happy.
The Showstros, of course, the defending champions. He is upset that they are not the marquee primetime game, considering they are the defending World Series champions. Is it a good call or a bad call for the Astros to play in the early time window during the division series? Or I guess I should say, was it, since it's now over? We'll start with you, Fred.
Yeah, it was a great call. And I understand what Alex Bregman was saying. But here's what he has to understand. They're not the primetime game. Houston-Cleveland is never going to be the primetime game unless it's the only game. The way this works, New York-Boston, boom, done. More people around the country are interested in that. Just because you win, just because you've won the World Series for a year, doesn't mean people care. Boston, New York will always be the primetime game. And look at it like this. And I don't know the schedule. I don't know, Jason, if you have it or not, or Vic, if you've heard of it, when we get to the League Championship Series. But I'm not so sure the Dodgers will be the primetime game. Dodgers-Milwaukee. You know, I think it'll be Boston or New York. So, yeah, it's a good call to put those guys in the early window.
What do you say, Rodney?
Yeah, it's a good call. I understand this, that, yeah, all due respect to Bregman and the Astros, and they are the defending champ. They are the champs. But Boston and New York are still in it. The Dodgers are still in it. You got three of the historical franchises, the mega franchises of baseball, still in it. They're not going to penetrate that. No way, shape, or form are they going to penetrate that. So understand that and know who you are. Don't get disrespected. Understand it and use it to your advantage and go try to win another one. But you got to understand the way the world works, little man.
little man. Little man.
What do you say, Vic?
Bad call. Okay. Bregman, stop your bitching. Just keep winning.
So you think it's a bad call then?
It's a bad call. What are you doing?
Bad call that... Wait.
I think Vic got the lines twisted.
Yeah, Vic, what are you trying to say?
It's a good call that they're not, or a bad call that they...
It's a bad call that the Bregman's bitching about it.
But
they're the World Series champions.
But the Astros are not in prime time.
And then a prime time watch. Obviously, they're the world champions. Let them still bask in the afterglow. They're still a great team. And they're going to be, you know, a tough out for the Red Sox or the Yankees. This team is sensational. We saw them last year here. They were excellent pitching, deep, incredible depth, not as deep as the Dodgers. But Bregman, just enjoy the moment. And what's this about a sunburn? Who cares if they got a freaking sunburn? They're making $6 million, you know, what's the average salary in Major League Baseball? $6 million a year. He's complaining about a sunburn? You just swept out the tribe. Enjoy that. Instead, he's lashing out. I said it's misplaced frustration or agitation with this Bregman character.
All right. We'll move on. And say, is it a good call or a bad call for Major League Baseball to remove an umpire from a crew in the midst of a playoff series? I think you might know where I'm going here. Andrew Hernandez had he struggled last night in that very game, the Yankees and Red Sox. He's been part of that series. He's going to be the home plate umpire for the next game, as a matter of fact. He had three calls at first base that were overturned due to replay review, and he got blasted on Twitter by many baseball dignitaries, too. Jeff Passan went after him. I know last night on the postgame show, Pedro Martinez says this guy was a bad umpire when I was pitching years ago.
Yeah.
So people have talked about maybe they should just pull Andrew Hernandez out of this series, even though it is not even over yet, and have somebody else take over as the umpire. Is it a good call or a bad call? Or would it be a good call or a bad call for Major League Baseball to remove Hernandez from the crew in the midst of a playoff series? We'll go to our resident umpire, Fred Rogan.
Well, to be honest with you, and thank you for asking.
Yeah.
The only reason Angel Hernandez is there is because he forced his way in.
He did.
Year in and year out, he's one of the lowest rated umpires. But then he complained that they were prejudiced against him and that they weren't giving him an opportunity. So I guess they finally put him in there. You can't really remove an umpire during the league championship series or the division series, a playoff series.
Okay.
But God, if you could, it'd be a really good call.
Okay.
Because there's no way he should be there in the first place. He is an atrocity. Just, he's bad. I got to tell you, he's just not good. And yeah. I mean, he shouldn't be there in the first place, but they can't get rid of him now.
Okay. What do you say, Rod?
Wait, so is it a good call that they remove him?
Would it be a good call or a bad call if they were to remove him?
Oh, it's a good call.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's in the middle of the series or not. If a guy gets bad marks and is not doing a good job, you can't wait to the end of the series and say, oh, he started the series, he's got to finish the series. No, if he's a terrible umpire in game one and game two, and game three, you got to get rid of him. You got to get a replacement. There's got to be evaluations for everybody, including the umpires. So it shouldn't matter if it's in the middle of a series. If he's bad, you got to get rid of him. Three overturned calls? Are you kidding me? Come on.
And he gets the plate next. Oh,
yeah. That'll be fun. What do you say, Vic?
Great call. Get him out of here. You don't want schlock umps at this stage. You put him in AAA. If the guy's inept, he's inept. He should not be at this level. This is playoffs. This is it. This is the culmination of the 163-game schedule. What are you doing? Major League Baseball, yank this guy. He's inept. He's not capable of making the right call. You don't leave him in there. It just drags the game down. Cheapens the game. Taints the game.
All right, guys. Some football now. Good call or bad call for the NFL to flex out the Rams for the Chiefs next Sunday night. Now, earlier today, the league announced they have used their flex option for Sunday Night Football. They are flexing the Chiefs' home game against the Bengals into Week 7 next Sunday night. and they're flexing out the Rams, who will be taking on the San Francisco 49ers. Now, the Rams and Chiefs, the two only unbeaten teams left in the NFL, KC 5-0 taking on the Bengals, who at this time are 4-1. And, of course, the 49ers are without their superstar quarterback, Jimmy G, who is out for the remainder of the season. Is it a good call or a bad call for the NFL to flex out the LA Rams, who are an entertaining watch, for the Chiefs next Sunday night? And by the way, the Chiefs are on this Sunday night, but I believe, taking on the Patriots as well. What do you say there, Rod?
Yeah, it's a good call. Okay. I mean, I'm a Ram guy, close to the Rams, brother coaches for the Rams, want to see the Rams playing prime time. But the Rams are playing the 49ers. And the 49ers without Garoppolo, even with Garoppolo, I don't know if they'll have a better record. And the game is going to be ugly early. It may be out of hand in the first quarter, first half. So it's a bad watch, you know, for the remaining 2 hours of that game. Kansas City, Cincinnati, quiet as kept. Cincinnati is a very good team. And it will be compelling because both teams can put up some points. I get it. I understand it. So I think it's a good call.
What do you say, Fred?
I hate to say it because it doesn't impact anyone more than it impacts us at Channel 4 because it was our game.
Right.
We'd have the Rams on Sunday night in prime time, but it's a good call. It really is. It's not going to appeal to the rest of the country. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is Jared Goff. Jared Goff is Patrick Mahomes. So you've got a stud quarterback playing. They may still be undefeated at that time against a team that is far more than just competitive. I hate it. It hurts us. But yeah, it really is the smart call and a good call.
Vic,
it's a good call. Number one, the San Francisco 49ers, even with Jimmy G, their roster really doesn't have that much talent. They would have been blown up by the Rams anyway. But to see the Cincinnati Bengals in this position, no one knows the Bengals. This is rare for the Bengals to be 4-1. So we get City of Cincinnati and the Bengals football organization is getting a lot of love. But everyone's curious about, you know, Mahomes. He's the most exciting player in the NFL this year. Everyone wants to get their taste of Mahomes. But it's a good call to flex out. But the Rams are the most exciting football team in the National Football League with this insane offense.
All right, guys. Good call or bad call for Eagles players to fast so they can play better. Now, they say fasting is good for the body. Mm. You know, has some positive benefits for you. But that type of fasting pertains to food. Now, former Eagles linebacker Gary Cobb, he's now an analyst for Fox 29 in Philadelphia. He says that the 2-3 Eagles need to do a different type of fast to get their mojo back. Let's take a listen.
I think that I would go to drastic measures. I think they need to go on a fast.
But what kind of fast?
Yeah. Not food fast.
What?
The boys need to be cut off.
From what? From
the
sex?
Daddies.
The women?
No
you
more.
You think
sex.
That would make a difference? You think that's the issue?
They just seem
they're
to be,
getting too much?
Well, hey, that's what it fogs up your mind. You know what I mean?
Isn't that already a rule? You're not supposed to do it like before
a
game or something?
Hey,
hold on, 1955 call. They want the segment back.
Oh my goodness.
Good call or bad call for Eagles players to refrain from having sex so they can play better. I'll go to our former NFL player, our former Eagle, Rodney Pete.
What did Mickey say?
Women weaken legs.
That's right.
That's what Mickey said. I kind of adhered to that when I was playing.
Did you?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, before the game. Two nights before what? The game.
No. Oh, two nights before
two nights.
The game?
Because you play on 2 days before the game. Like, that's why everybody was like, go crazy on players. Oh, he's out the night before the game. You're not playing on the night before the game. You're playing on the 2 days before the game. So if you're going out Friday night before a Sunday game, that's when it affects you. If you go out the night before, you're still okay, and it'll affect you on Monday. That's what's been reported.
So are you like Nuke Lelouch just doing your thing right before kickoff or something?
Right before
or what?
Kickoff is okay. I know a lot of guys, they had to get that in
right
the night before or right of that morning.
Hello.
You know what I'm saying? But that's a relaxing factor. You can't fast certain things. So that's, you know, I like Mickey in saying that, but no, that's a bad call, man.
What do you say, Fred?
Well, first of all, we just heard it from a guy that did it and played.
Yeah.
So who better to comment on that than somebody that actually lived it and understood the importance of having sex before the game? But I would think that...
Before is okay. Two nights before
right,
is bad.
That's what I'm saying, right. I mean, all right. What time would you have to leave, Rodney, to get to... Oh, no, you'd be in the hotel the night before the game, even at home, right?
Correct. Well, if you're at home, you stay at home. Some guys, depending on the coach and the organization, you get to stay at home. Veteran guys would sometimes stay at their own house. But normally, yeah, you'd be in a hotel.
Okay, but I'm saying if you were in the hotel, how could you have sex the morning of the game?
Well, there's a curfew at 11. You got free time up until then.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then you could sneak out and get it done.
Yeah.
I think it clears your head.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
Works for me.
Good call.
What do you say, Vic?
It's a good call. The Eagles need something. They're definitely in a post-Super Bowl funk. So they don't get their yayas out before the game.
Their yayas?
Yeah. But they raise a sharp focus. Maybe they'll win a couple games in the next few weeks. I'm with Cobb. I say no sex before the game.
You want all that built up to be released?
Release it on the football field.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, but you might be walking kind of in a haze, Vic. You might be kind of just, you know.
You think sex will give you clarity? Maybe for a few moments, you know, I would say after the initial act.
Well, look,
if you're on the football field, I think it's a whole different deal.
Vic, we know you're not supposed to have sex during the game. That we know, Vic.
But even before
the game is bad.
But even before the game, I think it robs you of that laser sharp focus.
But Rodney just told you he played. He knows.
It robs you of that laser sharp.
Rodney transcended.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm saying night before. You can't do it right before.
No, even night before. I'm with Cobb. I would it's not a fast. Yeah. It's basically an abstinence.
Yes, but that buildup can weigh you down, Vic.
Or it can explode.
Which is the goal, Vic?
Hola. Yeah. Touchdown. Yeah. Eagles.
Doug Peterson right now. All right, boys. Nobody get your yayas out this weekend, all right? And that's good call, bad call.
Oh, thanks, Game Finger. Appreciate it.
Nah.
I love it. All right, coming up, Fred, are you ready for the sports dump?
Yeah, let's dump it. Let's dump it, Rodney.
AM 570 LA Sports coming at you. Thank you, Lisa Fox. Appreciate it. Lunchtime with Rogan and Rodney. Before we get out of here, I want to give a big shout out to my man, Drew Brees, Fred. He broke Peyton Manning's NFL all-time passing record last night of 71,940 career passing yards. What's funny is I'm an old man, Fred. I'm an old guy.
Age is relative.
Yeah, but I'm old. And Drew Brees was playing when I was playing. And he was in the league when I was playing, which goes to tell you that he's been playing a long time. I mean, he's in his 18th year. Last night was arguably his best performance as a pro. I mean, he was 26 of 29 for 363 yards. The pass that broke the record was a 62-yard touchdown pass. He's just done everything right in his career. I don't know where he ranks or where he will go down in history in terms of quarterbacks. But since he went to New Orleans from San Diego, I think it was a perfect match with him and Sean Payton, and he's done it right. Yes, he won one Super Bowl. People will, you know, like look at quarterbacks and how many Super Bowls you win. He hasn't been as many as Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. But to me, the consistency that he has had over the years puts him way, way up top. And just commend him as not only a player on the field, but a guy off the field, because in a time where New Orleans needed a guy to step up, a hero in times of Katrina, he was that guy that brought life to that city and that football team. And congratulations to Drew Brees.
You know, before we get off, Rodney, I'll just ask you a quick question. What makes him so special? I mean, physically, he's not the biggest quarterback, and nobody would consider him to be the fastest guy. So what made him, or what makes him so special?
Well, I think he's a great competitor. You know, and that just goes to show you, everybody gets caught up into you got to be 6'4", and you got to be this size, and you got to have a rocket arm, and you got to have all those things. You can get it done. If you have it in you, you can get it done. We're seeing that with Baker Mayfield now, who's an undersized guy. Everybody criticized. He got it done in high school. He got it done in college. He's getting it done now with the Browns. Drew Brees was the same guy, undersized guy that got overlooked. but he continues to prove people wrong. You can be any size, and you can be come from any background, and you can get it done. So congratulations to him. Thank you guys for listening. Fred, we'll see you tomorrow. Have a safe trip home.
Thanks
for listening. Lunchtime with Rogan and Rodney. Petros and Money are next.